Are we ready, Jacob? All right. Calm the savage beast. Let me get ready here a second. Open up this one. I'm not like Jay. I don't have the mechanical machines. I have the old-fashioned way, the book, the Bible. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 13. And, the last time I was here speaking, I talked about compassion. And this time we're going to talk about love. So if I can find it, we will talk about love, Lord willing. Okay, we're getting close. There it is. So, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know why I get nervous. I've been up here 100 times, but, when it's time for me to teach you about God or the Bible, it's like a whole different story, you know what I mean? Because just like you, I'm learning too, we need to read God's Word. And we should stay in it every day at least, if we can. And that's how you grow spiritually, mentally, physically. Everything is through the body of Christ, through the power of Christ, through the blood of Christ. Everything. You want everything that way. So that when these trials come, you're prepared for them. The world's not prepared for that kind of thing. That's why they have all these problems, because they're not into Jesus, They're into themselves. And if you're not into Jesus, you have to be into yourself, right? They might say they're not, but they are. Because what comes out of your mouth, right, from the abundance of your mouth, the heart speaks. That's what the Bible says. So when you're listening to someone from the world, you can tell by what they're saying to you if you're paying attention to them. So it's a sad thing. But we need to pray for them, because Jesus loves them, and we need to love them too. And that's the whole point of this love, So for those of you who don't really know me, I just thought I'd give you a little bit of history about myself so that you can see that I'm a bum, just like the rest of you here. And it's only because of the blood of Jesus that we can be anything. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, I was born in St. Michael's Island in the Azores, Portugal, in 1947, and I came here as a little child. In 1949, my folks came January of 1949, and I was only 18 months old, so I don't remember anything from over there. I do remember the language that they spoke, what they spoke at home. I'm not educated on reading Portuguese or, speaking it fluently. But I can get by. I know enough to get by. And even if I go over there, I know enough to get by. And if I don't know enough, I can make them understand sign language, right? That's how you do it. That's how I got with the Spanish people here, the Mexican people. They're talking amongst themselves, and they think I don't know what they're saying, but I can get the gist of it, I use sign language on them, And I grew up in a Catholic home. I got six brothers and one sister. And they're all still alive. My parents are dead, but they're still alive. I grew up in Massachusetts, a town called Rehoboth, Mass., which is southwest of Boston, about 40 miles. And real close to Providence, Rhode Island, right on the state line almost, about 12 miles. So, and then I came to California. Hated it. I really did. Southern California, that's where I came, was Southern California. I hated it. It was hot. It was miserable. Heat. Dry. I got off the plane or got out of the car, and it's like somebody grabbed my nose. It was so dry here compared to the East Coast, with the humidity. I couldn't believe it. And it was dry, like desert. And, we have trees back there like this. And it rains. It rains all year. Not 6 months out of the year, and 6 months is dry, So it's a whole different, thing. But But I didn't come to Northern California. I came to Southern California. And the population is tremendous down there. And most of you who've been down there, you know, there's a lot of people down there, especially around L.A. area and that Orange County and stuff. And I lived all over Southern California. And then one day, I got saved, you know. And I got into the church down there, Calvary Chapel, that Greg Laurie teaches in Riverside. And then this beautiful woman walked through the door. And I noticed her, you know, and I told the Lord, I go, wow, she's really pretty, you know. A couple weeks later, she was sitting right next to me. So I was introduced, we introduced ourselves, and that's my lovely wife back there, Patty, if you don't know her. The redhead, the Irish, you know. You know the Irish, right? They're tough, okay? And believe me, my wife is tough, but that doesn't make any difference because she takes very good care of me. And I love her very much, as most of you know, if you know me and her. And we've been married for 37 years. In March 3rd, this March 3rd will be 37 years. And 39 years we've known each other in June. So it's just been a blessing. I can't tell you, I can't believe that all those years have gone by. And it's because of this love, you know, that God put in the two of us. Because when we got married, there was no such thing as divorce in our vocabulary. That was not the question. When I said I do, I made a promise to God and my wife that I would take care of her the best I could until death do us part. And that's what God wants from us. Until we die and leave this planet to be with Jesus, we need to be his example and representative here on the earth. And it's a tough thing sometimes, but through the power of Christ that's in you and the word of God that's in you, that if you read it and you speak it and you live it, you will have this joy. And you guys know the word of joy, what it means, right? And you know the alphabet if you went to school here in this country, you know, J comes before the O and O comes before the Y. And when you put those three in sequence like that, you have joy. Jesus, others, and you. When you reverse it, you don't have that joy anymore because you're not putting Jesus first in your life. A very important thing, and don't get me wrong, I'm not standing up here telling you that I do that all the time because I don't. I'd be a liar if I told you I was a perfect specimen, close, but not very. You know, my wife and I laugh at it all the time about different things, you know, but we enjoy it and we work as a team. That's why in Genesis it says, therefore a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two become one, not separate, but one. That doesn't mean that she's over you, and that doesn't mean that you're over her. That means you work as a team. And you're only the boss, right? Because you're seeking God's wisdom to take care of her. Because God knows her, and he knows you. And you will know your wife if you put your trust in God. And she will know you if she puts her trust in God. And so those are very important factors. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So the key word there is love, right? If you're doing all of this without Jesus' love in you, you're just wasting your time. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Now that just doesn't go with us, does it? Because we think of somebody that's like that, all powers, all this stuff. You think, man, he's that person's right on, right? But he's not. He's only wasting his time because without the love of Jesus, the end result is death for eternity. So it's no good. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gained nothing. So all that work for nothing. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It just blows me away. You know, I have nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. And you know, if you take these words and replace your name with love, instead of saying love, Manny is patient and kind. Manny does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, is not insistent on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice. He does not rejoice, right? Does no wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You know, you find right away that you're a liar, right? Because you can't fit the bill. You cannot fit the bill. But now if you take that and put Jesus in there, you'll fit the bill, right? Jesus is patient, which he is. He's kind, which he is. He does not envy, which he doesn't, right? Or boast, which he doesn't boast, right? He's not arrogant or rude, right? He's not insistent on having his own way. If he was, he wouldn't say to you, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, right? Because he'd want his own. But he's all for you, 100% for you. And he's telling you right here how to do this. But you have to apply yourself. And you have to be willing to surrender, right? To give up your self wants and needs for Jesus, and then you'll receive what you want in your life, because he knows exactly what you want, right? Because he tells us that in the New Testament, you know. And love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, do you have that? Can you put your name there and say that? I mean, honestly. You might be able to do one or two things or something like that, but to be absolutely pure in love and caring for other people, because we see each other here all the time, right? And we need to love each other all the time. And when we're bummed out, then you find somebody that you love or that you know loves you and talk with them. Ask them to help you. Ask them to pray with you. And you can overcome this anything in your life through the power of Christ and love, you know. Because, you know, my wife and I, even though we're perfect specimens, you know, when we have problems, you know, when I get upset at her or something like that, I take it to Jesus. I don't try to take it out on her. Because when I do that, I'm not going to get away with it, you know. She's not going to allow it, and Jesus doesn't want it, so who am I fooling? Me. So I'd say, Lord, you know what I feel, and I just ask you, Lord, to take this feeling away from me, and you deal with her, you know, because let's face it, we got things that bug each other, you know, and every one of us has that, and you're not going to stand here and tell me that you don't, because you do, and people that know you do. Right? But we're supposed to overlook those faults and love you like Jesus loves you. You know, you see somebody bummed out, hey, what does it hurt you to walk up and say, I feel like something's bothering you. Can I help you? Can I pray with you? Can I, you know? And we can fulfill those needs in each one of our lives. Amen? You know, it's funny to stand up here and say that to you guys because it's like, you know, and it's true. When you get up here, I don't know if any of you ever been up speaking in front of the people, but when you do, you know, it's like, who are you to stand up here and say these things to these people? But believe me, you know, I'm saying it to myself because you got ears, you hear what you're saying. And if you're listening, You hear me? If you're listening, right, you will see. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, God said, you know, they got ears, but they don't hear. They got eyes, but they don't see. They got lips, but they don't, you know. And that's sad because they trust in wooden idols who have ears but can't hear, who have lips but can't speak, who have noses but, you know, can't smell. It's useless. Why would you worship something like that, you know? We're a messed up people. But God loves us, and he created us special. And he created us to have fellowship with him, the Bible says. And when you have fellowship with Jesus, then you can have fellowship with anyone in this room or out there in the world. You know, working construction for 41 years, I met a lot of guys. Very few women out there at that time, but there isn't a lot more women now, you know, but guys mostly that I dealt with, and a lot of hurting guys. And you know, they talk tough and they do things like they're tough, but when it came down to the brass tacks, they would walk up to me privately and say, "Can I ask you a question?" You know, stuff like, "Why are you always smiling?" And I said to him, his name was Bob, and I said, "You really want to know?" And he goes, "Yeah." I says, "It's Jesus." And he goes, "Oh," and he walked away. Now, I don't know what happened after that, you know. But I know that that went to his heart. And I know that God's word never comes back void. So somewhere along the line, he's going to remember that, you know. And hopefully, he'll come to Jesus, you know. And there was a lot of guys. They'd ask me questions about their marriage. I had one guy come to work in the morning. All he did was complaining about his wife, and he was a Christian. And finally, I got tired of listening to him complaining, you know. Everything was his wife's fault that morning anyways. And I says, "You know, Mike," I says, "you got the alphabet wrong." He goes, "What do you mean?" I says, "Yeah, you got the Y before the J in the alphabet." I go, and I explained to him about the joy. And that sunk into him. I said, "What you need to do is you need to go home tonight and apologize to your wife and, you know, pray." And so he did. The next day he came back and he was just all tickled pink. But he, and I'm not saying that because I'm something special. I'm just saying that because people have told me things that I didn't fully understand until someone said something. I said, "Wow, I never thought of that." Or I never, you know, because that's how I learned too. You know, I'm not any better than anybody else out there. I just know that if you're walking that walk and you're talking about Jesus and you're living about Jesus, that people are going to see it in your life and they're going to come to you. And then you have the opportunity to tell them. You don't have to force it down their throat. You just tell them. Tell them the truth like Jesus did, right? When the Pharisees came to him, they thought, well, they were smarter than Jesus. They're going to outsmart him. And what did Jesus do? He just told them plainly. He didn't use stupid. Well, there was times where he got a little, you know, but you don't have to do that. You just got to tell them what they want to hear. Not what they want to hear that way, but what they want to hear from the Word of God, you know. Like they tried to outsmart Jesus with the coin. You know, should you pay taxes to Caesar or? And he says, "Show me a coin." And he showed it to him, right? Now, you see how intelligent God is to us? He goes, "Whose picture is that?" And he goes, "Caesar's." "Then give to Caesar what belongs to him and give to God what belongs to him." What an answer. You know, it's like Caesar still got what he was supposed to get, but God wants what he wants from you, not from Caesar. You know, it's what you're going to give to God, you know, from your heart. And it's just an amazing thing when we do that, right? So I love that last line, you know, bears all things. It bears all things, love, right? Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And all is what? All things, right? That means everything, not just part of it. That means your life, you know, your heart is a closet. You have to give the whole heart over to God, not part of it. God wants every closet. He wants to clean every closet in your life if you're willing to give it to him. If you're not, then you're going to have problems here every time. You know, if you got this thing you're doing that you know you're not supposed to be doing, like Greg Laurie said when I sat in the crowd, because there's people here backsliding. He says, I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are, and you know who you are. He goes, if that's you, stand up right where you're at. Well, let me tell you how hard that was for me to stand up in a church that held 3,500 people and say, here I am, it's me, I'm the guy. But you know what? When I trusted Jesus and I did it, the chains just started falling off my arms and my legs. I felt free. I was free. And that was before I met my wife. And from that day, my life has never been the same. Not that I hadn't had ups and downs, because I have. But God blessed me because I was truthful for him. He gave me a scripture, Psalms 128. It says, blessed is the man, you know. He said I was going to be married and my children were going to be round about the table and I was going to live to see my children's children. And all of those prophecies have come true. Because I met my wife, she had 5 kids. I had 1. And that's what I said. I said, how can I have children around the table when I only have 1 child? Well, I ended up with 5 more, right? And they're, you know, they're not blood related to me, is that where it goes? But they are my children. And I fight for every one of them, you know. And no one can tell me that Jesus is not real, because I know he is. You know, he's proven it to me over and over and over again. And I know many of you, and I don't know how serious your walks are with Jesus, but I know that he loves you. And if you're willing to let go, that's the hard thing, is let go, because we are so wanting to hang on to things, you know. Jesus will bless you. And it never ends. That's, you know, things endure all things. Love never ends. Love never, 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 ever ends, right, in our lives. But we got to step out in faith with love for others, for your wives, for your husbands, for your children, for grandchildren, for relatives, whoever. You got to step out. And when you step out for Jesus, you're going to get conflict. You know, I have a brother that I've never said anything to, but he, every time I see him, he just barks. You know, it's like it's like a pack of dogs, Greg Laurie says. You take a rock and throw it in a pack of dogs, the one that yells is the one that got hit. And that's how my brother is, you know. But he's getting there because his children are saved. I don't know how all that happened, but God got to his children. And they have kids, and they're saved. But my brother, he's tough, right? He thinks he is, but he's not really. But one day God will save him, and he'll give up. He'll surrender. And then he'll understand, because without Jesus, you can't understand salvation. You can't understand the peace of God. You can't understand the love of God. You might think you are because you're in a Catholic church or because you're in a Baptist church or because you're in whatever kind of church, which I thought too, you know. See, I was raised Catholic. They taught us about Jesus. They said he was the Son of God in the church I was in. They said he died and went to heaven on the 3rd day he was raised. They said he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, but they never said you had to accept him in your own personal life. They never said anything about being born again. So one day I was reading this book called The Four Spiritual Laws, a little booklet. I was working in a gas station. My life was useless. I was in jail, but I got a work furlough to work. And then after work, I had to go back to jail and do my time. And I'm sitting there in the showroom one night. I worked the swing shift. And I mean the graveyard shift. And this little pamphlet was sitting on the shelf. See, I didn't know the owner, the wife, the son. They were all believers. Anyways, I was sitting there by myself and, you know, thinking about what my life was, because I knew I was doing things wrong. I knew what I did I shouldn't have done, but I did it, and I had to admit it. There's a little caption in that book. You get there, and it's talking about all of sin, falling short of the glory of God. You know, all these things I didn't really understand totally. Then they showed a picture of a canyon, a great big deep canyon, and had the name God over here and man over here. And man's trying to get to God. They had this arrow, but he can't because there's a big canyon that he can't cross, you know. Then I turned the page, and on the next page, here's that same canyon, but now the cross is like this across the canyon. Now Jesus in the middle, right, you go across to God on the cross. That's how you get to God. That's how you get to heaven. It's through the cross, right? It's through the blood of Jesus on the cross. So the first time in my life, I understood what they were saying, even though I didn't grab onto the whole thing. And this is how God works. The next morning, his son came in. His son was working for Mercury Lincoln down in Southern California, you know, in Fullerton. And son got tired of being a full-time mechanic at Mercury Lincoln. His dad's mechanic retired, so his son came to work for his dad in the gas station. God just puts all these monopoly things together, right? Working the line. His son walked in the morning, and he goes, "Hi, my name is Walt James." I go, "Hey, how you doing?" I hadn't met him. It was the first. He goes, "Have you ever read the Four Spiritual Laws?" And I go, "What?" He goes, I go, "Oh, you mean that little book up there on the shelf?" I go, "Yeah, I read it last night." I said, "But I didn't quite understand it all." He goes, "Do you want to go to church with me on Sunday?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess I can go." You know, he was in a Baptist church. When I got to the Baptist church, they had Sunday school in their church for everybody. And this guy named Pete Peterson, I think his last name was, he says, he's reading the Four Spiritual Laws, and he explains it. And then it clicked, you know. Now I knew, you know, and immediately I accepted Christ. I got full of tears and everything like that. I went outside. I got his dad, who owned the gas station, and I told him that I had to go to jail and do my time and stuff, but I needed a job. And he said, "Don't worry about it. You got a job as long as you want it." And I busted up, you know. Because for the first time in my life, I understood that God really loves me like he says he does. And he loves every one of you here like he says he does. But he won't force it on you. You have to allow him to love you. You have to allow him to show you what he wants for each one. He's got a plan for each one of us. You know, I got here. I don't know how I got here. You know, I came to this church in 1997, March of 97, the first time I came in here. I was going to Auburn Calvary Chapel, my wife and I, and I was bought the house up here, and I was driving past the church. And shortly, we moved in March 27th in 1997, drove by the church for a couple weeks, and then one day I see the sign, Calvary Chapel. And I go, "Wow, how come I didn't really notice that before?" I wasn't paying attention. That's why. I go, "Wow, Lord, there's a church right here, Calvary Chapel." He says, "Stop in and see the pastor." So I did. On the way home one Thursday night, Jay was in his office back there where the couches are now. That was Jay's office back there then. Talked with him. Then I started coming here. Patty had to work during on Sundays, you know, she was working at Costco and stuff, so it was hard for her to come, but when she didn't work on a Sunday, she came with me and everything like that, and we both really like it. We've been in Calvary Chapel since she's been before me. I started in 1981, and it was amazing. So it was about, not quite a year, Louis Medina, he's dead now, he was here. He was head of the men's ministry. And he says to me, he goes, "Hey, how would you like to be an usher?" And Tom Usher over there, he was an usher. And I was an usher for a long time together. And then, you know, Tom, he'd been for a while, so he had to, got his life, he's going to do things. So he stopped, and, you know, there was other ushers, but I'm still here since 1997, you know. And one day, Lewis died. So I took over the men's ministry. We used to have breakfast once a month, and we have the quarterly divide, but because of the COVID now, nobody's doing it. And I spoke down there, and Jay heard me, and I only gave my testimony. And he said to me, he goes, do you want to speak in front of the church? I go, what? I go, well, I'm not. I said, I've never done anything like that. He goes, no. He goes, I think you could really do it. And I said, well, okay. So I did. You know, people liked it. I go, somehow I deceived them, you know what I mean? Because they liked it, you know. And I don't know how God does that. Just like the Bible study that Patty and I did at her house when we first met. She goes, you know, God's telling me to have a Bible study at my house. Do you want to come? I go, sure. I go, when is it? She goes, on Friday night. I go, okay. I go, who's teaching? She goes, I don't know. I go, what? She goes, I don't know. I says, all right. I said, I'll show up. So I show up. I was the first one to show up. And then it was like four or five people after me. And we're sitting there looking at each other. And it's like, okay, so who? What are we going to do? And they said, who's the teacher? I go, I don't know. And then God spoke to my heart. And he goes, why don't you do it? I go, I don't know how to teach a Bible study. I've never taught one. But you know what? You don't have to know. You just got to open your mouth, and God will give you the words. He really will. So I said, well, somebody said, I'd like to go, you know, the book of Romans. I go, okay. So I said, well, what we'll do is we'll open it up, we'll read a chapter, and then we'll talk about it. So we did. Next week, about the same amount of people, same thing, next chapter. Next thing you know, there's 10 of us. A little while later, there's 15 of us. And there's 20, and there's 26, I think, is what the last amount was. You know, it went on for a couple of years until there's several people in there that got married. They met each other there at that Bible study, and they got married. And then we got married. So the Bible study ended because now we had the other responsibility, you know, taking care of our children that were unsaved. And, you know, some of them are and some of them aren't, you know, but it's a heavy responsibility, but you have to live Jesus, you have to breathe Jesus, you have to speak Jesus, and eventually they'll come because God said they will, you know, and I believe God, you know. I believe God for my family, my brothers and my sister, you know. I got to talk to my mom when she was dying, had a stroke and a heart attack. She was in the hospital. Told my dad that she had this much chance of living. My wife called me. I was at work. She goes, what do you want me to do? I said, well, get me a plane ticket. I'll fly back there, you know. So I did. My dad, my brother Mario picked me up at the airport. Got to the hospital, Rhode Island Hospital. And my dad says, she's in intensive care. She goes, you go in there. She goes, only the family can go in. Your brothers and sister are over here in the room. We'll be over there. And I goes, all right. So I walked in there. There was another person in the room, though, on another bed, an elderly lady. And I know she heard me. My mom was just laying there like she was dead, all paralyzed from the stroke and everything. So I grabbed her hand on the right side, her right hand. And I said, Mom. She couldn't turn or nothing. I said, this is your son, Manny, from California. And I just told her in Portuguese, you need to give your life to Jesus and you need to ask him into your heart right now. Because if you don't, you know, you're going to be lost for eternity. And my mom lifted her head off the pillow and she turned like this towards me, which she couldn't do, by the way, not without God's help. And she just started mumbling and I knew. I got such a peace over me that she had accepted Christ. It was just an amazing thing. And you know what? She got better. My sister-in-law, Mary, who just passed away in March from cancer, said to me at that time, she goes, wow, every time you come home, because my mom had three different strokes, your mom gets better, you know, like I'm some holy man or something. And I said, well, that's great, Mary. I says, but, you know, And I went back east when she died in March, and God let me go through the COVID thing and everything like that, but I made it back there. I knelt by her side and I prayed with her, you know. And her family was there, my brother and the kids and the grandkids and the, you know, their husbands and their wives and stuff. And, you know, they didn't know Jesus. But when I got there and started praying, I guarantee you, they heard God's message, because God spoke what he wanted to speak to Mary, because she needed it right then. She was dying and she didn't have time, you know. And it's the weirdest thing. My brother says she probably won't understand you because she's just laying there. But you know what? She talked to me. And it's like, this is amazing, you know, that God can do this thing. So God can do it for you, but are you willing? You know, and the reason I tell you this, like I said, is not to be a big man on campus. It's to let you know that you can do this too if you trust Jesus. You know, you got a mouth. You know, you got eyes. You got ears. Listen. Listen to your children that are unsaved. You know, because I've talked with my oldest son a few different times, because I'm listening to what he's saying, and then I tell him, you know. So, and he's a good man, you know. He really is. All the kids, they're just really good people. And then my daughter Debbie, you know, she, this year, for my birthday, she sent me this little plaque. She's my stepdaughter. And, excuse me. It just melted my heart. Because she says, thank you for being the dad that you didn't have to be. And I thought, wow, it's getting through to her, not only by me, but by her mom too, because her mom talks to her all the time. You know, Patty's talked to a lot of people. I've heard her. And we've talked to each other. And it's possible. God is able. Just be that vessel, and he'll do it for you just like he did it through the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles and all the people in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelations, and he's still doing it today, you know. So anyways, verse 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partiality will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abides these three. But the greatest of these is love. So we have faith, amen, if we accepted Christ. We have hope if we accepted Christ. But do we have that genuine love? Because that's the important one, most important. You know, they're all important, but this one is the most important. So, I don't know how to say it any other way, but it just blows me away. You know, because God has brought me to tears. I see things in my life now from the past, and I go, Lord, what an idiot I was. You know, how come I couldn't see this before? You want to know why? Because I wasn't listening. You know, and we need to listen to God's word as we read it. Read it carefully, study it, pray first, ask Jesus to show you what he wants for you personally, and then you will know what to do for others personally. Amen? All right, I won't keep you guys any longer. You know, I just See, God did it again. He just put stuff on my heart to speak, and it's like, I don't know what I'm going to say up here. Because I'm no, you know, I'm not educated. I don't have a high school diploma. I don't have all this knowledge and wisdom. And even, I painted for 41 years. I still don't have all the knowledge and wisdom about painting, you know. People would say, man, you're a really good painter. I'd say, well, you know, after 41 years, you're bound to get better. You know, it's just by fault, you know. So, you know, it's just, but like I said, you know, God bless the two of us. We were just talking about it this morning, that I can't believe that all these years have gone by like that. And it just feels like yesterday. Because we love Jesus. And we're not afraid to tell people that we love Jesus. You know. And serve him with your whole heart, with your whole mind, and your whole soul. And God will bless you for it. You know, the Jewish people, they live by the law. But if you read about the law, you'll see that you can't keep the law. And if you can't keep the law, what's going to happen? But through Jesus, you can live and keep the law. You know, and like the Bible says, if you break one law out of the Ten Commandments, you've broke the whole law, because it's a whole law. You know, so if you're just a liar, you still broke all the Ten Commandments. You did all the other ones according to the Bible, because it's a whole law. It's like a pie. If you take a piece out of a whole pie, now you don't have a whole pie, right? Same thing with the Ten Commandments. So if you're sitting here today and you truly don't know Jesus, come up and talk to me. I'll pray with you. If you got a situation in your life, come up and talk to me. I'll try and help you. A lot of us here will, I know. And I think everyone in here is saved. I'm not, you know, because all I'm saying is, don't let it go. Because the longer you let it go, the harder it is to do. And I'm guilty. You know what I mean? I am guilty. Even after all these years, I still have difficulty with my problems. Because they're secret to me. But I've found over the years that a lot more of them go. A lot more of them go, you know. I can't tell you everything in my mind, everything I'm thinking all the time and stuff like that. It's impossible for me. Now, some people, they're different. They can tell you everything. You know, they can spill their guts. But I can spill my guts to Jesus. My deepest sin, I can spill my guts to Jesus. And he'll heal you. Just ask him. Ask him to cleanse you, to heal your heart, to keep you from these things. And sin can be a lot of things. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be adultery or, you know, it can be anything. Anything that you're attracted to that takes you away from God, you're busted. So just keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on each other. Protect each other. Love one another. Pray for one another. And serve Jesus with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And you will have the peace above all peace and joy. It's just amazing, you know. Amen? All right. God bless you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, for your message, Father. Lord, I ask that you speak to each and every one of us according to your will, Lord. Not our will, but yours, Father. That you keep us safe, Lord. That you keep us in your love, Father. That we may project it wherever we go, Lord, whoever we talk to, Lord, whoever we see, Father, that's willing to listen, Father, and just love you, Lord, like you love us. That's our ultimate goal, Father, to spend time with you, Jesus, to glorify you and to praise you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Amen.